Shalom, brothers and sisters, and thank you for listening to the 12 Tribes of Israel show. Today's topic is called the Faith of Abraham, which is a very important topic for all our people that are seeking to serve the Most High, because a lot of our people have this notion that all faiths or all religions stem from Abraham, such as the faith of the Catholics, the faith of the Muslims, the faith of, modern Christianity. All of those religions claim Abraham as their, as their ancestor, or claim Abraham as their pillar of faith, or the one that founded their religion. Well, we're going to find out today that the faith of Abraham, or the teachings of Abraham and the doctrine that Abraham followed, is not based on any of these religions. The faith of Abraham was based on his lineage that the Heavenly Father was going to give him, and also on the doctrine of that there's only one God that rules the heavens and the earth, and that we have to obey that God just like Abraham obeyed him. So today's topic again is called the Faith of Abraham. And we're going to begin in the book of Galatians chapter 3, which basically is one of the foundational scriptures that explains to us that Abraham was very faithful unto the Heavenly Father. So in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9 it says, "So then, they which be of faith." So someone reading this might say, okay, anybody that has any type of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So that's why a lot of religions, like I said earlier, like to claim Abraham as their ancestor or as the founder of their faith. All right? Was Abraham a Catholic? Was Abraham a Muslim? Was Abraham, anything else? Pentecostal, Baptist, was Abraham any of these religions? That's the topic of today. Let's find out, what did Abraham follow? And what was his faith that he had that made him to be known as faithful Abraham? Like it said in the scripture, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And we're going to find out how we will become blessed if we are like Abraham. So to begin, let's give you a background history of Abraham. We're going to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and we're going to start at verse 1. Joshua 24 and verse 1. So, Abraham, being the father of who? Of the Israelites, is the founder of our faith. And that's what we're going to find out. That Abraham is the teacher that basically taught our forefathers to serve the Most High, to serve the only God that exists in this earth. Joshua 24, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." All right, so let's see what Joshua is calling all the leaders of Israel for. "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus the Lord, the God of Israel," notice who it said, the God of Israel, "says, saith, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time." What does it mean, the other side of the flood? Meaning, when you look at Abraham when he first started, which you're going to read later on, Abraham was in the other side of the world, which was in Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees, which is the flood was referring to the other side of the Euphrates. Okay? It says, "Even Terah, the father of Abraham." So Abraham, okay, comes from a lineage that is from Noah. Basically, he comes from the Shemitic lineage, all right, from Shem all the way down to Eber and eventually to Terah, who is the father of Abraham. And it says here, "And the father of Nahor, and they serve other gods." So Terah, which was the father of Abraham, they serve a whole bunch of idols, a whole bunch of different gods. So in that time period, when Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, living among his people, living among his father, okay, they all were serving other gods, right? That's why when you read, eventually the Most High confused the people and give them different languages and separate the people one from another. So it says in the next verse, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood," it says, "and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. So right here, the Most High is establishing the foundation of what Abraham was taught. Abraham was taught that there's only one God and separated him from his family and led him through the land of Haran. And from Haran, he went to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And there, the Heavenly Father gave him this seed that he promised him. Okay, the Most High made Abraham to become faithful and giving him a command, an order. It says, and multiply his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But to Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. So what does that show us? It shows us the foundation of what? Of how Abraham's faith was passed down. Abraham's faith was passed down from Isaac to Jacob, and eventually it reached Moses, and Moses taught all the children of Israel the law, statutes, and commandments which are faithful. So going down in the same chapter, we're going to read verse 15. It says here in Joshua 24 and 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. So this is the point of this class. If it seem evil to you to follow the God of Abraham, then choose you this day who you're going to serve. Because the God of Abraham is not the God that you're following. If you're saying that you're a Muslim, if you're saying you're a Catholic, if you're saying that you're part of any religion, instead of saying I'm of the 12 tribes of Israel, instead of saying I'm a descendant of Jacob, instead of saying I'm a descendant of Isaac and Abraham, then you need to choose you this day whether you're going to serve the Lord, the Most High, or you're going to serve Satan or serve other gods, because that's what basically it is. It says here, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So now, the book of Galatians, which we read 3 and 9, it said, blessed are they which are of faith. But that doesn't mean any type of faith. It was a specific type of faith that we were supposed to follow, which is the faith that Abraham had. What faith was that? Abraham served only one God. And that God is the God of the Israelites. Okay, that God is the God of Isaac and Jacob, who the Most High revealed unto Moses and all our fathers. All right, let's go from there and show you a little bit about faithful Abraham. I'm going to go to a chapter that speaks about faith. The whole chapter is dealing with the faith of our fathers. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 1, then we're going to jump down to Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is something that you possess, and that spirit of faith, being faithful, is a hope that you have of what's going to come in the future. For example, Abraham, he was to hope that he will have seed. A specific seed will be given to him, all right, that will pass on this teaching to eventually to the children that were going to be as the multitude of stars of heaven or as the sand of the sea. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Abraham, he didn't get to see the promises, such as what? Such as that nation, that mighty nation that the Heavenly Father promised him. He didn't get to see his children being as the stars of heaven. He didn't get to see the kingdom yet. But Abraham was faithful. How did Abraham show his faith? How did Abraham, you know, show that he hoped for those things that God had promised him? Because you don't have no hope if it's right before you. If it's right before you, why should you hope for? That's what it says in Romans 8. Let's go to that scripture because it's very, very important for you to understand that hope is something that is vital to faith. Okay? Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read straight to the point where it tells us why are we going to hope if it's right before us. So we go into Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves. So it's referring to what? That we have groanings, meaning we have complaints amongst us of this type of life that we live, you know, the pain and the suffering, the tribulation. We have groanings, you know, you get tired of getting up early, slaving, living from check to check. You tired of being poor, tired of being sick. Those are groanings that you have within you. Okay, even us, that's what he said, that are in this truth, that are in the Spirit of the Most High. It says within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. What do you mean? What does it mean by waiting for the adoption? When you adopt somebody, you make them your son or your daughter. So we're waiting to be adopted and waiting for the true adoption. Because we are the sons of God, but it doesn't seem that way until when? Until we receive that promise that was promised unto us. Until we receive the kingdom that was given to us. It says, for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, meaning the salvation of our body. Okay? We die just like everybody else. We suffer pain like everybody else. We suffer tribulation just like everybody else. The only difference between us and the people in the world or those of other faiths is that we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Heavenly Father. It says, let's read on, for we are saved by hope. For hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So showing you that in order for you to have faith in the Most High has to test you and make you to hope for that which is coming. Otherwise, you're not going to have any hope if it's right before you, if it's attainable, if you're able to grab it. Okay? You don't see the kingdom before you, so that's why the Most High is testing you now in these last days to see really if you believe in Him. Okay? Whereas those people that worship idols, they don't believe in the Most High, so they'll go and try to attain what they desire by their own means. Okay, by doing their whatever is necessary to get, you know, the little souped up car or the little house. They'll go through any length to break the Most High's commandments to get those things. Instead of waiting on that hope or that faith that the Most High told them to have. It says in verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do with patience wait for it. So we have to learn how to have also what? Patience. Faith equals the same thing as hope. And if you have hope, then you're going to patiently wait for it. Just like faithful Abraham patiently waited for the Most High to fulfill the promise that he gave him. So going back to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meaning, it becomes evident whether you really believe in the Most High. Because although you don't see it, your actions should be showing that faith. It says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Abraham is one of our elders, one of our teachers, okay? And we're going to show that as we read in the scriptures what it means by faithful Abraham. Because a lot of people take faith as something that, you know, it's just believing. No, it's not just believing. It's actually an action. It's a substance. It's evidence of what you're hoping for. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Meaning, if you have faith in the Most High, you're going to believe that the creation and everything that's before you was made by who? By the Heavenly Father. By His words. When He said, let there be light, light came. That's what you're going to believe. So that the things which are seen were not made, of things which do appear. So the things that are right before your eyes were made by things that you cannot see, things that are invisible to you right now, such as angels, such as the Heavenly Father, okay? These things created what? The world that is right before us. Verse 4. Actually, no, let's jump down. Let's jump down to Abraham, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, showing you that what made Abraham faithful in the eyesight of the Most High was his obedience, that he obeyed the commandment of the Most High. What was the commandment? Well, Abraham, first and foremost, had to put away all the idolatry, all the false gods that his father, Terah, had worshipped. And then remove himself from the place that he was brought up in, which was Ur of the Chaldees, and go into the promised land that was not yet given to him. But the Most High said, I'm going to give you this land. This land is going to belong to you. It says, he went out, not knowing whether he went. So he went out of his father's house, going to a place where he never had seen before, not knowing where he's going to go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, which was the land of Canaan, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So what is that showing us? That the faith of Abraham was passed down to who? To Isaac and to Jacob. They are the ones that had obtained the doctrine and the teaching of Abraham, and the promises of Abraham fell upon them. Okay? So now, knowing that and understanding that, we should also come to the conclusion that unless you understand that you are a descendant of Abraham, you are not going to be blessed. That's what Paul, that's what Peter, that's what the hard sayings of the New Testament is teaching us. And I mean New Testament, you know, as people say it, but it's not really the New Testament. The new agreement that the Most High gave us is not a section of the Bible. The whole Bible tells us of the agreement that the Most High made with us through Christ. Paul, Peter, and them taught that if you were a descendant of Abraham, although you were aware of it or not, you will be blessed once you acknowledge who you are, once you acknowledge the promises that were made to you. Just to prove that point, let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. So we're going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, wherefore, remember that ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now in the churches, they teach us what? That we're Gentiles. They don't tell you you're a descendant of Abraham. But then they're going to claim and say what? Well, we teach or we believe in the same God that Abraham believed in. That's what the Catholics will teach you, the Pentecostals, the Muslims. They all will teach you that. Okay? They will teach you that you're a Gentile, but yet they believe in the God of Abraham. That's false. Because as we continue reading, it says, wherefore, remember that ye in time past, meaning in the past you were calling yourself a Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. So the churches, they say, no, we don't have to worry about the circumcision. But Paul is saying, no, that was your past. Your future is supposed to be like Abraham's teaching. Who was circumcision given to? To Abraham. All right? By that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So the Jews, who knew who they were brought up in the laws of the Most High. They were saying to the other Israelites that were brought up in the customs of the other nations, they were saying, you guys are uncircumcised. You guys don't have no idea about Abraham. You guys are Gentiles. Paul said, yeah, that was how they were in the past. Says that at that time, ye were without Christ. If you are calling yourself a Gentile and have no idea who Abraham is, then you are without Christ. You don't understand that Christ was spoken of to Abraham, that the promise of Abraham included Christ, included the kingdom, included the promised land. It says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So being a stranger from what? From the commonwealth or the promises or the blessing, the wealth that is going to be given to us, that it was was promised to Israel. It says, being strangers from the covenants of promise. It says, having no hope. So you see the people in the churches that basically have no idea who they are? They have no hope. If they don't come to the conclusion that Abraham is their father, they have no hope. And without God in the world. So they're without Christ. They're without the Heavenly Father. They have no promises for them. And they have no hope. No hope of salvation. So when we're thinking of Abraham, we should think of Abraham in a very strict fashion. It can't be a loose fashion. Like, you know, I was having a conversation with a sister, and the sister said to me, you know, well, you know, all religions are based on Abraham's teaching. The Muslims, the Catholics, the Pentecostals, we all believe in the same God that Abraham believed in. That's not true. That's not true at all. Okay? Because as we read the scriptures, Christ made that distinction even with the Jews, those who knew that they were Israelites, and they were claiming Abraham to be their father. Let's read that, as a matter of fact. Let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 32, okay, to show you basically that you got to wake up from the lies. You can't be following all these, you know, false gods that are set up, these idols, these graven images, and then you're thinking that you're following the God that Abraham was obedient to, because that's not what the Most High shows us. It says here in John 8 and 32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now, why would Christ say that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? It's because our people are not free. Physically and spiritually, they are not free. Yeah, you might have just celebrated some wicked holiday, so-called Independence Day, but guess what? You ain't free. You might not have shackles on your hands and feet anymore, but the shackles are even worse now because you have become what? A horn-born slave. You mentally and physically are a slave willingly, right, to this society and to Satan himself. So the next verse says, and they answered him. Who was the people that answered him? The Pharisees, which were Israelites. They were brought up in the law. They answered Christ saying, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? So our people in that time period were carnal just like they are today. Our people today, they go to the churches every Sunday, break the Sabbath, break the commandments, break the laws, and they claim to be what? The children of Abraham. Through faith. Oh, I believe, so therefore I'm a child of Abraham. I'm free, brother. I know the truth, brother. There's no truth that you could teach me. But look what Christ answered them. It says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, meaning truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So therefore, if you commit in sin, you are the slave of sin. Okay? This society teaches you how to commit sin. This world is established upon Satan's doctrine. Right? Satan has seduced our people to believe lies. Okay? Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. The next verse says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. So now the servant, you being the slave, you're not going to abide in the house forever. You're not going to abide in the kingdom forever. You're not going to make it. Even though you might be claiming to be a descendant of Abraham and you're still walking in sin. Even though you might be saying, I'm a child of Abraham because I have faith. You're still in sin. You ain't going to make it. But you know who's going to make it? He said, but the Son, which means Christ, abideth forever, meaning he has eternal life. He has the true understanding of how to be a child of Abraham. And that's what we're trying to reveal unto you. That you have to put on the carnal first, which is understand that Abraham is your father, that Isaac is your father, and that Jacob is your father. But not only that, you have to put on that spiritual mindset that Abraham had. Abraham didn't worship other gods. His father Terah did. But Abraham, when he was called out, he obeyed the Most High and did not do after the works of his father. So let's continue reading. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So if Christ said you're going to be free, he ain't lying to you. You're going to be free. Free from what? From captivity, slavery, bondage, sin. If Christ said he's going to make you, you know, prepare a place for your kingdom, you gotta believe it. Although it's not before you, like we read earlier, you got to hope for that kingdom. Just like Abraham hoped for what? For the promises that he did not see. Abraham didn't see a child being born unto him, so he had to hope that what the Most High said to him was going to be true. Right? Though it might seem impossible, a man being of such an old age, having a baby, and a woman like Sarah being such of old age, having a child, yet due to his belief on the Most High, he did the works that allow him to actually have that promise fulfilled, which was having Isaac. Although he did not get to see the stars of heaven, he got to see some evidence, though. He got to see some evidence in Isaac and then in Jacob being born. So you have some evidence today, even though it might not be the kingdom. When you go outside, you see the sun, moon, and stars. You see this whole world created and how everything is fashioned according to how the Most High said, how the Most High is the creator. You have brothers and sisters that have woken up from being in that slave mentality and acknowledging who their fathers are, understanding the prophecies, understanding the word. That's your evidence for the time being until you receive what? That hope of the kingdom that you're desiring. All right? So now it says in the next verse, verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. So some of us might have already acknowledged that Abraham is our father. Some of you might say, oh, I'm the children of Abraham through faith. Okay? But still walking in the Baptist doctrine, still walking in the Catholic doctrine, still walking in the Muslim doctrine. You might be saying you're Abraham's children. It says, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So in other words, you're just like those people that killed Christ back then. Although they were saying they were Abraham's children, they didn't obey the words of the Most High that was sent to Christ, who Christ spoke unto us. Christ was that promise that Abraham was given. When he said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, it was speaking about Christ. They couldn't even perceive or understand that that was Christ that the Most High was talking about to Abraham. All the way back then, thousands of years before Christ was even born, the Most High already revealed to Abraham about his son. It says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye will do the works of Abraham. So that's the point of today's class. If you're claiming to be a descendant of Abraham, if you're saying I'm a child of faith, I'm the child, I believe in the same God Abraham believed in, I have become a descendant of Abraham through faith, then guess what? You have to do it according to the works of Abraham. All right? Abraham had a son whom the promise was passed down to. That son was Isaac. We read it earlier. Isaac had a son who the promise was passed down to also. His name was Jacob. Did the Most High pass down the promise to anybody else? No. Okay? Does the Most High say that all nations in Abraham is blessed? Yes. So how is it that this is going to work? How is it that it seems like a contradiction? If the promises was not passed down to anybody else, how is it that every other nation is going to be blessed? And that's what we're going to answer also. How the works of Abraham is basically all Israel that was scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. that is scattered throughout all the nations, once they acknowledge who Abraham is and say, that's my father, his God I will follow, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, once they do that and do the works of Abraham, which, believe it or not, is the laws, the statutes, and the commandments, then you are also partaker of Abraham's promise. Then you also are a child of Abraham. Okay, to prove that point, let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. So we're going to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, and we're going to read from verse 40. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. It states, if they shall confess their iniquity, the word iniquity means the same thing as sin. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. So what is that showing us? Repentance. The Most High is teaching us about repentance way back then under Moses. This is a prophecy. That if we acknowledge that what we have done is wrong, oh man, I was worshiping the wrong God. I was worshiping idols. I had crucifix on my neck. I had, you know, like we went over last week, graven images in my house. Man, I need to repent. I need to worship the God of Abraham, which is only one God. And you also repent for the sins of your fathers. In other words, you have to go back and see who are your fathers. All right? Which means that you eventually are going to figure out that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are your forefathers. It says, with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, that you didn't walk in the path that the Most I give you, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and that you acknowledge that all the things that we're suffering today is a punishment due to our sin. The enslavement, the poverty, the broken homes, all these things are due to the fact that we were contrary to the Most High, so he was contrary to us. It says, and have brought them to the land of their enemies, that we were brought here to this land, and this land is the land of our enemies. This is not the land of the free. This is not the land of our independence. This is not the promised land given to Abraham. This is the land of our enemies. You got to acknowledge that. It says, if then their uncircumcised hearts, so the circumcision of Abraham was not only a physical one, it was also a spiritual one. How your mind, that's what the heart is, had to be circumcised. Just like you take off the foreskin from a man's penis, you have to take away the sin from your mind and cast it away. You don't put that foreskin back, all right? That is thrown away. That can't even be put back with surgery or nothing like that. All right, that's now waste, excess. It's no longer part of you. It says, be humbled. If their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity. And you accept that the Most High is punishing you because of your sin. And you humble yourself. Then will I remember my covenant. The word covenant means my agreement with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. So right there showing us again that the agreement and the promises was not made with anybody else. It was made only with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This promise was not passed down to any other nations. But the reason the Most High said that in Abraham and in the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, or all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, is because the Most High knew that you were going to go into enslavement. You were going to go through slavery. You were going to be scattered in every nation. You're going to be following false gods, false religions, false faiths, because there's no such thing as religions in the Bible. There's only one God. One faith, one teaching, all right, that started with who? Started with Adam, but Abraham was the one that reestablished it and became the father of faith, known as faithful Abraham, who passed it down to Isaac and then passed it down to Jacob, who he passed it down to all his descendants, the 12 tribes of Israel that were going to be scattered abroad. From there, let's go to the book of Psalms to show you again that you must first acknowledge Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be your fathers. You can't be in the Catholic Church and saying, oh, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my father. No. You can't be in the Baptist Church. You can't be in the Pentecostal Church. Because even the Pentecostal Church are trying to pull a fast one on you. And even the modern Christianity has started trying to deceive you and trying to claim Abraham as being the founder of their faith, or even trying to call themselves Hebrews. I'm a Hebrew Pentecostal. Or by saying, I'm a spiritual Israelite, like the Jehovah Witnesses say. They're trying to pull a fast one. But the Most High didn't make a covenant with Pentecostals. The Most High didn't make a covenant with Jehovah Witnesses or Catholics or Muslims. He made a covenant with his seed, the seed of Abraham. He made that promise to them. Let's go to the book of Psalms 105, and let's read that. Psalms 105, and let's read from verse 6. 105 and 6 says, O ye seed of Abraham. What does it mean by seed? O ye children of Abraham. Now, seed is basically sperm. It's letting you know that the only way you could be a child of Abraham, you have to come from the sperm of Abraham. It says, his servant. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant. Because Abraham was the servant of the Most High. O ye children of Jacob, his chosen. That's who the Most High chose. That's who the Most High is dealing with. It says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. So the Heavenly Father is the Most High who has chosen Abraham to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees and go into a strange land. And he was the same one that gave Abraham the promises. His judgments are in all the earth. Wherever Israel scattered, you can see what? Them being punished, like we read in Leviticus. Whether you go to Europe, whether you go to Caribbean, whether you go to any part of the world, you see how people in poverty and suffering because they were enslaved by their enemies, being brought into strange lands, no longer where? In the promised land. Verse 8 says, he hath remembered his covenant forever. You think the Most High forgot the agreement he made with us? No. That's why he told you, if you believe the words that you are hearing through Christ, if you believe in Christ and you repent as an Israelite, then the blessing of Abraham will fall upon you. Then the agreement that he made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will be on you. Okay? He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Okay? Remember, from Abraham to Christ, it doesn't count to 1,000 generations. Right? It's that every single time you read in Matthew chapter 1, it was 14 generations. And it said it a few times. Hold your spot in Psalms to read that. Let's go to Matthew 1, and we're going to read verse 17. Matthew 1 and 17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away, So let me read it again, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. If you add that up, that is not more than 1,000 generations, right? The Most High is letting us know that what? That we are not forsaken. That promise he made to Abraham that we are to hope for, we have to be basically what? Believers of that promise. We can't just be, saying to ourselves, oh, no. I believe that my church is teaching the truth. When the Most High said, no, they're not. Not only are they telling you that you just got to believe and don't keep his commandments, they're also teaching you that Abraham is your father if you continue as a Gentile. That's not true. We just read in Ephesians, Abraham is your father once you acknowledge you an Israelite. So going back to Psalm 105, it says here in verse 9, which covenant he had made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac. So the Most High is making it detailed for you that this promise is not to everybody. It's passed from Abraham to Isaac. Remember that Abraham had other children. He had Ishmael, which is where the Arabs come from. He also had, you know, other Arab nations, like the Midianites, like Jokshan, Kedar, and all these nations. Why did Abraham cast away Ishmael if the promise was with all nations then? Because the promise is not with all nations. It's specific. All right? It says, which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath, unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. So what does it show you? That the promise of Abraham had a lot to do with the law. Yes, believe it or not, Abraham kept laws. The laws were not only given to Moses. The laws, statutes, and commandments were given to Abraham also. It says, confirmed the same unto Israel for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. I didn't read here where it says that the Most High is allowing everyone now to become a descendant of Abraham. It doesn't say that. All right? It does not teach us that. From here, let's go back to Galatians, chapter 3, verse 9. Now, are you doing the works of Abraham? Are you really a believer? Are you really faithful? We're going to find out. Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 9 again. This is in Galatians 3 and 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's jump down in the chapter. And let's read verse 27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, notice it says into Christ, because the baptism of John, the baptism of water, is not into Christ. The baptism of Christ was the Holy Spirit. Okay? Have put on Christ. So to basically be baptized in Christ is to put on Christ, to walk like Christ walked. Christ did not walk in sin. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. So now here it is where a lot of people get confused and say, hold on. Brother, I thought that the promise was only with Abraham. But how come here it says it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek? It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what, you know, whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're bond or free. It says, if ye be Christ, meaning if you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, didn't we read earlier in Ephesians saying that if you're still calling yourself a Gentile, you are without Christ? So don't you think that what Paul is saying here is that in order for you to repent or be given a chance of repentance, the Most High had to give you Christ. Once he gave you Christ and you acknowledge your sin, you confess your sin, you confess the sins of your fathers, and you went and researched and saw that you were a descendant of Abraham, you became one with Christ. And then you became heirs according to the promise. Okay, being Abraham's seed. All right, let me read it again, verse 29. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. If ye be of Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. What is that letting you know? That the Most High is calling the children that came from the sperm or seed of Abraham. To what? to repentance. In order for them to repent, they have to acknowledge and believe in Christ. They have to believe that there's only one God, which is the Most High, the Father of Christ, and that Christ is the sacrifice given to us by the Most High to come back unto him. It says, then you become heirs according to the promise. All right, from there, let's go to chapter 4. We're going to go to chapter 4 to give an example. Here in chapter 4 and verse 20, let's start at 21. It says here, tell me ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Now, based on what we read earlier in chapter 3, it doesn't matter whether a free one or bond person, because if you believe in Christ, you're all one, right? Well, let's see. So here it says you have one that was born to a bond, to a slave woman. The other one was bond to a free woman. Okay, the slave woman was Hagar. The free woman was Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. So in other words, this descendant of Abraham came from his sperm, from his flesh, flesh and blood. But he of the free woman was by promise. Okay, well, this is kind of confusing, because I thought it didn't matter whether it was bond or free. Is Paul contradicting himself? No. What Paul is showing you is that you got to keep it in context, okay? He's showing you that the free or bond was an Israelite, whereas here he's speaking of what? The birth of Ishmael and the birth of Isaac. It says in verse 24, but which things are an allegory, meaning things are what? These things that he's speaking are symbolic. Symbolic of what? It says, for these two are two covenants, or two agreements. The one from Mount Sinai was generated to bondage, which is Agar. So he's saying that one is like the covenant that was given to us in Mount Sinai. One agreement that was given to us in Mount Sinai, which was what? He said Hagar. Hagar being the bond woman. Now, why would he compare the agreement that Moses gave us to Hagar? Because when we first came out of Egypt, it didn't matter whether you believe in the Most High or not. All Israel, who was of the flesh, received the opportunity to come into the promise. But now it says here, which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generative to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. So showing you that Hagar had Ishmael, who are what? The Arabs, the Arabians. It says, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So showing you that the ones that were in bondage were the people of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So what is that saying? What that's saying is that at the end result is what? That the Most High is going to make Jerusalem free. Okay? Why? Because those that are meant to receive the promise of Abraham are being called, whether they believe that they were Israelites or not, whether they were walking as an Israelite or walking as a Gentile. Both of them are given the opportunity to repent in Christ. That's what these scriptures is about. It's not about all other nations. It's about the Israelites that were confused and walking in the customs of the other nations. It says, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate have many more children than she that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Did it change anything that we read in Psalms? No, it's saying the same thing again. We are the descendants of Isaac, are the children of promise. But as then, He that was born after the flesh, which was Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, which is Isaac. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. So in other words, cast out Hagar and Ishmael. For the son of the bondwoman should not be heir with the son of the free woman. So what does that show us? That the inheritance of the kingdom is not for everybody. Even those that actually were of the flesh and blood of who? Of Abraham. The Arabs, they're flesh and blood of Abraham, but they're not following the God of Israel. The God that they follow has nothing to do with the God of this Bible. Therefore, they're not going to receive the promise. It says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. All right? Now, what are the works of Abraham? Let's go to the works of Abraham. Remember, the works of Abraham starts off with acknowledging that there's only one God. All right? Let's read on in Genesis chapter 26, and let's show you the faith of Abraham. Let's go to the basic scriptures about the faith of Abraham. Genesis 26 and verse 5 is going to teach us basically what is the faith of Abraham. It says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So yes, if you claim it to be of faith, well, guess what? Faith is shown through works. Faith without works is dead. So guess what? The reason Abraham was chosen by the Most High was because he obeyed the voice of the Most High. He obeyed the commandments. He obeyed the statutes and the laws. Let's go to another scripture to prove that even further. Let's go to chapter 18. Genesis 18 and verse 18. It says in Genesis 18 and 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. So the Most High meant for Abraham to become what? A mighty nation, singular, mighty nation. And that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So that's where the confusion comes in. Because a lot of people think that this means that what? Everyone will have the same kingdom. That everyone that accepts the God of Abraham, regardless of what nationality they are, will receive salvation. But the nations that it's referring to here that shall be blessed is referring to Israelites that are scattered among all the other nations. They were going to be blessed once they go back to the faith of Abraham. Right? To prove that, hold your spot in Genesis. Let's go to the book of Amos, chapter 9, and let's read verse 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 9 is going to prove who are those nations that the Most High is calling in these last days to acknowledge their heritage and the faith that he established with our forefather, Abraham. Amos 9 and 9, it says, for lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. So what is the Most High showing us? In this simple verse, he's showing you that he's calling. He's going to command. He's going to separate all the Israelites that are scattered among all nations. Some of those Israelites didn't know that they're Israelites. Some of you were calling yourselves Gentiles. Some of you are stuck in what? In religions instead of following the Most High. It says here that I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. That says, corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. So the Most High is separating the Israelites like how you separate grain in a sift, okay, in a sieve. All right? So let's go back to Genesis 18. And we're going to continue proving that the all nations was referring to Israelites, okay? Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. So it says that the Most High knew that Abraham will command his children and his household after him. What does it mean he's going to command? Meaning he taught his sons Isaac, and Jacob, and taught them what? The commandments. He made his household to be in order. That's what you should be doing. You should be learning the faith of Abraham and doing the works of Abraham. All right, just like Christ said to the Pharisees. He said, no, you're not descendants of Abraham, because if you were, you would be doing his works. You would be doing his law, his commandments that he taught his children. It says, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Meaning who? The children, the household of Abraham will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So you see that? How the Most High basically said that he was going to bring upon Abraham the promises because he obeys his voice, because he teaches children and his household to walk in the way of justice, meaning the commandments, the laws and the statutes, and the judgments. A lot of Israelites do not like to teach about judgment because they feel that they will lose what? Their following. Judgment is very important in our nation, right? From there, let's go to Genesis 22. Because Abraham was known for his faith. Well, a lot of our people don't see that. The reason he's known for his faith is because he was obedient, because he kept the law. So let's go to it, and let's show it to you, the faith of Abraham. Genesis 22, and let's read from verse 15. So in Genesis 22 and 15, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, what thing did Abraham do? Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, Isaac. It says, hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now remember that he had Ishmael before he had Isaac. But the Most High did not even acknowledge Ishmael as a son. He said to him, thine only son. Why? Because to the Most High, those that are of the promise are accounted for. Those that are not of the promise, they don't matter. That in blessing, I will bless thee. So now, what is the blessing? That the blessing was that he was going to bless Abraham. And then, in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. So the blessing is that the seed was going to be what? Multiplied. As the stars of heaven. That means that they're innumerable. They cannot be measured nor counted. All right? In other words, if they are going to be as the stars of heaven, they're going to be so much in number that sometimes they don't even know who they are, due to the fact that they were enslaved. It says, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. So now hold on. Can you count stars, all the stars of the heaven? Can you count the sand that is on the seashore? Even if you grab a handful, you can't even count that. How much sand is in your hand? Okay, you can't count the gravel of the sand. All right? It says, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. I thought the blessing was for everybody. How come it's saying here that the seed will possess the gates of his enemies? What does it mean by possess the gates of his enemies? When you read Isaiah chapter 14, and it tells you about how we're going to possess the other nations as our servants, okay? That's what it means by possessing them as our possessing the gates or the places of our enemies. Hold your spot in Genesis 22. Let's read that in Isaiah. These are some of the basic things that our people do not know because they are following fables. They are following religion instead of following the Most High. They're following graven images, following idolatry. Therefore, they don't have no idea what it is the faith of Abraham. So, Isaiah 14, verse 1, it says, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. So, again, the Most High showing you that Jacob, who is a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Isaac, are those that will receive the mercy, that will receive the blessing of Christ, and will yet choose Israel. So don't get it confused. When you read those hard scriptures of Paul, which is the next topic, Lord willing, next week, the reason they are difficult for many to understand is because they don't know the basics that are taught by our forefathers. They don't know the history, the background. They don't know the heritage of the laws. They don't know any of those things, so they are unlearned. And they're trying to read something that, in order for you to read it, you have to read it with understanding. You have to know, it's like going and watching a movie, and it's a part two or part three of a movie. And you don't know what happened in part one. You're not going to know who are the good guys or the bad guys. You're not going to know, you know, what the plot is about. You don't know the setting. You don't know nothing. All right? You're trying to figure it out, but it's too difficult sometimes to follow. All right? That's why when you want to watch a movie that is a sequel, you go and watch what? Part one first, so that you can understand what the storyline is about. Okay? So now it says here, and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them. So here is where someone might say, you see, other nations are going to be along with us. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. You see, they're going to be cleaving to the house of Jacob. But let's read the next verse. And the people shall take them, meaning the strangers, and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them, just like we read in Genesis, shall possess them in the land of the Lord. For servants, or handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. So what did that show us? Just like they had us as our slaves, just as they had us as slaves, they're going to become our slaves. Okay, that's what the word captives mean. They're going to become your servants, they're going to become your handmaids. Are we going to do the same wickedness that the white man did to us? No. We're not going to be as wicked as they are. Because there's laws that the Most High give you to regulate how you treat your what? Servants. It says in verse 3, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow. So this is letting you know this is in the kingdom. Because it tells you in Revelations, you're no longer going to cry. And from thy fear. And from the hard bondage, meaning from the hard slavery, wherein thou was made to serve. So you're not free yet. Okay? You're not free yet. Yeah, some of our people foolishly celebrate Independence Day, July 4th, when in 1776 we were still what? In shackles. Now, you celebrate that you were in shackles on that time. Because you're shackled in your mind. You're not freed. You're still a servant of sin. It says, and thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. So showing you that when you read the book of Revelations, a lot of the things that are spoken of in Revelations have already been spoken about before. And in a place where it's easy for you to understand and be able to grasp the meaning of the parables and the dark saying. So this is the proverb or the parable that we're going to say against the king of Babylon. And we're going to say, how have the oppressors seized? The golden city seized, because that's how people look at this place, like this is the kingdom. Like this is the golden city that has been promised to them. So, but the Most High says it's going to seize, it's going to be destroyed. It will no longer exist. It says, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked. And the scepter, meaning the ruling stick of the rulers. So showing you that it is the Most High that's going to pass the judgment. He's the one that's going to take care of this wicked setup. That is giving strength to the wicked. That is the one that set up the many religions that is out there. And the wicked politics that is out there. Alright? So let's go back to Genesis 22. To continue reading. Genesis 22, and we're going to read at verse 18 now. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So again, what made Abraham faithful? The fact that he obeyed the voice of the Most High. The fact that Abraham had works, just like Christ said it to the Pharisees. Now, if you claiming to be a descendant of Abraham, whether it's some, you know, fabled Pentecostal or Baptist or Catholic teaching, oh, you know, our belief is based on what Abraham taught. It could be proven easily that it's not. Because if I go to your church and I see crosses, statues, then I know immediately you don't have the works of Abraham. You're not a child of Abraham. If I go to your church and they claim in a name that is not within the scriptures, which is the 12 tribes of Israel, then I know you're not a child of Abraham. Okay? If I look at the Muslims and the Muslims say, we are descendants of Abraham. Yes, you are. So therefore, we also have the promise of Abraham. Then we will go into the scriptures and show them, no, Hagar is your mother, and you are the son of a bond woman. The scripture says to cast you out because you will not be an heir with the free, which is Isaac or Jerusalem. All right? Let's go from there to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9, to continue learning about our great father, faithful Abraham. Romans chapter 9, and let's start at verse 3. It says in Romans 9, verse 3. Actually, let's start at verse 1 because to get the whole idea. Romans 9, verse 1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Now, why will Paul, why will Paul say this? I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Because Paul was different from Peter. Peter was called by Christ while he was a fisherman, while Paul was a Pharisee who persecuted the congregation, who helped kill some of the disciples, put some in prison. So a lot of people didn't believe in the teachings of Paul because of his past. But then Paul repented in Christ and started putting on the works of Abraham. So he said, I'm not lying. I'm saying the truth in Christ. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Okay? In other words, what he's saying is not his own words. He's actually speaking according to the Holy Spirit. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why was Paul so sad? Continually. Isn't he supposed to be happy that he's, you know, promised the kingdom, salvation? Why is he so upset? Well, because he understood prophecy. You know what prophecies Paul understood? That we're going to go through captivity. All right? He understood that at one point or another, we're going to be brought out of the land, the promised land, and be brought to the land of our enemies because of our sin. So he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So Paul is saying, listen, I wish I could take the curses on myself, that Christ will curse me instead of cursing my brothers, my kinsmen, meaning my family, according to the flesh. So guess what? You cannot become a spiritual Israelite. You cannot be a descendant of Abraham through spirituality, just by faith alone. No, it has to be according to the flesh. It says, who are Israelites? So who are Paul's brethren? Who is Paul concerned with? Who was Paul writing about when he said that if we be in Christ, whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we be bond or free, whether we be male or female, we're now one in Christ? He was talking to Israelites. Why? Because some Israelites went through the Greek slavery. Before the Roman time period, there was a Greek slavery. And the Greeks forced our people to call themselves Greeks, to give up their nationality, to give up their belief in Abraham. Well, not in Abraham only, but in the God of Abraham. Okay? Because what Abraham taught us, the promises, that was something that our people held dear to themselves. So the Greeks started taking away from us what? The circumcision, the keeping of the Sabbaths, the worshiping of the only true God, and our nationality. And just to prove that real quickly without, you know, going through a long-winded breakdown, let's just read it. In 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, which is in the Apocrypha, and let's get to the point, 2 Maccabees 6, and verse 6. So it's 2 Maccabees 6 and 6. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts or to profess himself at all to be a Jew. So this is what was happening during the time period of the Greek captivity, the Greek enslavement. Go to another scripture, 1 Maccabees chapter 1. Okay, 1 Maccabees chapter 1. And let's read verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, and everyone should leave his laws, so all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath days. So that's showing you what? That our people gave up because they were forced by this king, and some of them actually also were wicked and wanted to do it, gave up their true heritage and started calling themselves Greeks. All right, started calling themselves after the false nationalities that were established at that time period. Just like today, some of our people do the same thing. They forget who they are and forget that we were enslaved and that during slavery, we were forced to learn a new language, forced to put on new names. Okay, so now going back to Romans, verse 4, in chapter 9, verse 4 says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants? So now if you want to be adopted as a son or daughter of the Heavenly Father, you have to be an Israelite. If you want glory, which means the kingdom, you have to be an Israelite. It says the covenants, the agreements with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was given to the Israelites. And the giving of the law, that was given to the Israelites, not to the other nations. How are they going to repent if the laws were never given to them? It says, and the service of God, meaning to become servants to God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers? What fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, showing you that Christ was concerned about the flesh. It's not just a spiritual Israelite you could be. That's no such thing. Says Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. So Christ came for these Israelites. All right, some of these Israelites would call themselves Greeks. They didn't know any better. So once they adopted the faith of Abraham as their own and had the works of Abraham by repenting in the name of Christ and putting on their nationality, then they were going to be what? Blessed. Verse 6, not as though the word of God have taken none effect. Meaning the word of the Most High, you can't dismiss it. It always will have effect according to what he said. It says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. So although some were calling themselves Israelites, like in the time period of Christ, just because they were not doing the works of Abraham, they were not considered the children of Abraham. So like you have different Israelite groups, they call themselves Israelites, but because they don't do the commandments to the Most High, they're not Israelites. Alright? It says in verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Right? You had Ishmael, you had Esau, you had, you know, Midian, Jokshan, a whole bunch of different nations that came out of the seed of Abraham, but that doesn't mean they're all his children. It says, are they not that because they are all the seed of Abraham, they are all children, but in Isaac shall that seed be called. Showing you that it's the promise, the calling that was going to happen in these last days was going to be to the descendants of Isaac. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So you see that? They are the ones that the seed that was going to bless all the families of the earth, which is Christ. Those that are of the promise, they are the ones that are counted in to be the children of God. It says, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah, which was Abraham's wife, shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah, which was the wife of Isaac, also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election, and according to his calling, might stand, not of works. So showing you that what? Ishmael, he could have had works, but it doesn't matter because the Most High didn't call him. Alright? Not of works, but of him that calleth. So you that are being called to this promise, you are the ones that could benefit by doing the works that the Most High is giving you. Okay? By being faithful, just like Abraham was faithful. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau, which is also a descendant of Abraham, have I hated. So they didn't even do no wickedness, but the Most already said what? I didn't choose Esau. I chose who? Jacob. And what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? This meaning, is God evil for not choosing everybody? Is there something wrong with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, not of him that wants to, nor of him that runneth, or of him that's doing, you know, running to do the works, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So the Most High is showing us that, like the Egyptians, did he choose them? No. He built them up to become a great and powerful nation, just so he could show his power. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden it. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Meaning, why does the Most High then still find fault with them, if he didn't choose them? It says, for who have resisted his will? Can Pharaoh resist the will of the Most High when he hardened his heart? No. It says, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why has made me thus? Can you say to the Most High, why you made me this way? No, the Most High created this whole earth for a purpose, according to his election, according to his choosing, according to his pleasure. It says, have not the potter power over the clay? So when you have pottery that you're going to make, you get some mud, you get clay, doesn't the potter, which is the one making the pottery, have power to choose whether he wants to make himself a cup, a plate, a vase, or anything? Yes, he has the power to do that. Likewise, the Most High. He has the power to choose him what he's going to do with the clay, which is us, because we were made of earth. It says here, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So what is the Most High saying? That he has suffered for a very long time period. He has made some vessels, some pottery, which is some men, some nations, to show his power, to show how he's going to destroy them. He built them up and showed them that the commandments, show him the laws, like the Egyptians, and now this modern-day Babylon. He's given them the opportunity to hear the word, not so that they could repent, but to show his might and his power, because they think that they have the true God. All right? All these different nations think that they are descendants of Abraham in faith. The Most High is going to show, no, you're not. All right? They might misuse the Bible and try to twist it to teach some manners. But the Most High is going to show his power and his destruction on them. That he might make known the riches, this is verse 23, of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Didn't we just read in Isaiah 14, it says that he would yet have mercy on who? On Jacob. Who will he still choose? It says in Isaiah 14, Israel. It says, which had afore prepared unto glory. Everybody letting you know that it was already spoken who's going to get the glory. It's not a mystery once you know the background history. Once you really know what was said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It says, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Why did he say also of the Gentiles? Because you had Israelites that were walking in a Gentile state of mind, that were brought up in the different customs of the other nations. It says, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and my beloved, her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So the churches, they read this and they say, you see, brother, you're teaching a lie. Everyone is accepted before God. We just read that Paul is quoting the prophet Hosea, as he saith also in Hosea. That's what it says in verse 25. We read the whole verse 25 and 26. I will call them my people, which were not my people, her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, this is a prophecy, shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. Let's get the understanding. Is he talking about just anybody, or is he talking about Israelites? Let's go to Hosea. Let's go back to where he quoted. Hosea chapter 1. And let's read verse 10. See, these are things that our people read and do not understand. These letters of Paul are very difficult for some to understand. Why? Because they don't have the background history. That's why we're covering this topic, the faith of Abraham. To give you, in 2 hours we can't give you everything about the teachings of Abraham and the faith of Abraham, but we could give you an idea of what the scriptures is teaching. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10 is what Paul was quoting. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Who did he tell that his children will be as the sand of the sea? That was told to Abraham, showing you the fulfillment of prophecy being done in Israel. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, who's the them? Israel. You're not my people. In other words, you are Gentiles. There it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. See, Paul was all along talking about Israelites. From the beginning of the chapter all the way to the end. The Gentiles that he said were being called and are the vessels of mercy were these Israelites who were being told, you're not God's chosen people. Because today we go to these churches all day to hear madness. hearing that we are Gentiles and how God accepted us, you know, God rejected us throughout the whole Bible, and at the end of the Bible now, all of a sudden, he changed his mind in Christ. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying that before this world was even created, the Most High already had planned, had already foreordained his people. He already chose his elect, okay? Before Jacob and Esau were even born, he already knew who was going to be serving who, okay? So you have to understand that these hard sayings that Paul wrote, they're not hard once you go to the basics. Once you go and learn the laws, the statutes, and you learn the history. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 9, and let's continue. Let's read that verse again. Verse 26, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, who's the them? Well, if you're reading it with understanding now from Hosea, you will understand that it was referring to Israelites. If you read verse 24 in this chapter, it said Gentiles. So what is letting you know? That these Gentiles are actually what? Israelites. It says, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And just in case you might think that we are misquoting scriptures or misusing scriptures, let's read the next verse, verse 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. What? So what does that show you? That all along, this is speaking of Israel. He's saying Isaiah even talks about this concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So showing you that he was quoting again the same thing. Because Hosea said the same, that we were going to be as the sand of the sea. We were going to be scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, innumerable. And we need our people to wake up, because there's going to come a time when the 144,000 will be gathering that innumerable amount of people that shall be from many nations and kindreds and tongues, that shall speak all these different languages and be calling themselves different nationalities, but then they one day are going to wake up and say, uh-oh, if I don't acknowledge myself to be a descendant of Abraham, if I don't agree with the teachings of Christ, if I don't do the works of the law, then I'm not going to be saved. That's what they're going to have to say in their mind and repent. So let's continue. Verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the short work will the Lord make upon the earth. In other words, what the Most High is going to do? He's going to choose a remnant, a remaining group of men and women to spread this work, and he's going to make it short. Okay? It's going to happen very quickly. Verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, meaning the Lord of hosts, have left us a seed. What seed was he referring to? The promise that Abraham was made had to be kept throughout all generations. The Most High had to leave behind that seed. It says, we have been as Sodom and we have been as Gomorrah. So if the Most High did not keep his promise with Abraham, he said we would have been wiped out. Because in every slavery, they were killing us, and they were not sparing our people. He says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness, because our people didn't know any better. They didn't know the commandments. You don't know the laws. Says, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, just because you believe in the words of Christ, you have to attain to that righteousness. You have to prove that faith through works. If you really hope for the kingdom, you got to show it by doing what is commanded of you, by obeying what the Most High say. But Israel, the Israelites that were back then, which follow after the law of righteousness, just to show you what the righteousness is, he told you it's the law of righteousness. That's how you're going to show faith. That's how you're going to show righteousness. That's how Abraham was known as the faithful one. He believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Meaning he believed and it was counted to him as him keeping the law. But Israel, which follow after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. You know why they didn't attain to the law of righteousness? Because when Christ came, he spoke to them the commandments, and you know what they did? They said, we're free already. Just like a lot of you are saying, oh, we're free already, brother. I don't need to hear you. I already know the truth. I don't need to keep the laws. I'm already a child of faith. They didn't attain. They're not getting it. It says, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. In other words, you didn't seek it out by faith. You didn't understand what faith is about. But as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Meaning what it means by the works of the law. They thought they were going to receive mercy by sacrificing. And by basically continuing in their sin. But the Most High said what? No, you stumbled at the word. You didn't follow what I told you. When Christ came, he became a stumbling stone to them. It says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. It says, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We're going to go from here to James chapter 2. To some more scriptures about faithful Abraham. James chapter 2. And we're going to get to the point of reading verse 17. James 2 and verse 17. Says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. So a lot of times people say, well, you don't need no works. Oh, no, brother, you know, you're trying to be like the Pharisees. You teaching to keep the law. That's not what Christ come in and taught us. Christ told us, if you are Abraham's seed, you will do the works of Abraham. Let's hold that in James. Let's read that scripture one more time. And let's continue reading in that chapter, actually, in John 8. So we're going to John 8 and verse 42. John 8 and 42. Actually, let's start at 39. John 8 and 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. So showing us basically what? That they are not following the commandments. They wanted to seek to kill Christ because Christ was correcting them. So then say they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So the Jews understood that Abraham's belief system was based on one God. And that they were saying that they were not fornicators. But let's see what Christ says unto them. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. So a lot of times our people cannot receive what is being said by Paul or Christ. It's because they're not the sheepfold of Christ. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, meaning he did not keep the commandments. Because there is no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And I tell you the truth, and ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin, meaning which of you say that I'm in sin, or can say that I'm in sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So that's why when you look at the people in the churches, you know, you show them the laws and the commandments. You show them how to be faithful, but they cannot hear it. They don't receive it. They reject it. Oh, no, brother, I'm a Gentile. When we just read some basic scriptures that told us that if you're calling yourself a Gentile, you have no hope. You're without Christ, you're without God, you're strangers from the promises, and you're alien to this truth. So going back to James 2 and 17, it says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. You can't say you have faith and have no works. You can't prove faith without having works. The next verse says in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and not have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So a lot of times people say, oh, I believe. You ain't believing. Because if you believe, you will do the works. Let's use Abraham as an example. Let's jump down. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? So remember that that's the reason that the Most High said, I'm going to give him the blessing because he obeyed my voice. What was the works that he did? The Most High put him and tempted him, okay? Gave him a test, a trial, and said, go and offer your son Isaac. Now, Isaac was the only one who the promise was going to be passed down to. But to show you how faithful Abraham was, he didn't even question what the Most High said. He was about to sacrifice his only son. But the Most High stopped him and said, now I know that you're really obedient to everything I say. All right? So likewise with us, the Most High will put certain obstacles in our path to see whether we're going to keep his commandments or not, whether we're going to go astray or stay in this truth. All right? Because in chapter 1 of James, it says here in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What is temptation? Okay, let's say you're calling yourself a child of Abraham. Well, we read in John a minute ago that if you're a child of Abraham, you would not be giving yourself to fornication. You would not be giving yourself to idolatry. Okay? You would not be giving yourself to, you know, sin or lies. So here it is that to endure temptation will be, you might be in tempted, you might be going through some lust demon, and you have, you know, a male or a female that, you know, is willing to, you know, lay down with you. It's seducing you. It's enticing you. Enduring the temptation will be for you to what? Not fall into the sin of fornication or whoredom. Not to be a whoremonger or a whore. It says, for when he is tried, when you are tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So the way you show love to the Most High is by keeping his commandments. Just like Abraham did by obeying. No, I'm not going to commit adultery. That's against the Most High. I'm not doing that. The girl is seducing you. She all over you. She might be even grabbing you like she did to Joseph. But you got to what? You got to endure the temptation, not by giving yourself into the sin, by saying, no, I'm not going to sin. That's a sin to the Most High. I'm not going to give myself to that wickedness. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And don't blame the Most High when you fall into sin. Oh, it's because the Most High tempted me. That's why I sin. It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil. I mean, the Most High is not sinful. The Most High is not wicked. He cannot be what? Tempted with evil. Meaning the Most High, when it comes to sin, he is not sinful. It's not like someone could trick or seduce God into committing sin. It says, neither tempted he any man. In other words, the Most High does not put you or give you the license to sin. Right? The Most High, he tested Abraham by telling him to what? Offer his son Isaac. But he didn't make him kill Isaac. Alright? He didn't make him commit murder. This is in the next verse. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. So every man is tested. Okay? Or the test begins when your own lust is drawing you away. It says, and enticed, meaning and you being seduced. Then when lust have conceived, meaning lust, when lust has brought forth, it says it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, meaning let's use the one of adultery, right? The wicked thought come in and say, wow, that woman is beautiful. And you lusting after her. Then she acknowledge you. And then you are starting to get what? Seduced by your mind. And she's willing to what? Lay down with you. And she's now trying to talk you into it by with her smooth words, trying to make you yield with her convincing words. You're not to what? Bring forth that sin. Once you finish that act, you know what the Most High said? It says, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. In other words, the opposite of the promises. You're not going to get the promise. You're going to get what? The second death, the destruction. So a lot of people go and say, I believe in the Most High. I believe and I have faith in the Most High. But these are the same people you see them what? Fornicating, being whoremongers, being whores. You see these people, you know, always partying it up, reveling, breaking the Sabbath, all right? Being part of what? Of the wickedness that is in this world. Why? Because the world allows this type of sin. You know, their churches, their religions is about what? A fictional faith, which is not real to the Most High. Because in order for you to show the Most High that you really believe is staying in what? Staying within the works. Allowing the Spirit of the Most High to have the fruits of the Spirit, which is patience, hope. Okay? That's what it is. All right? So as we continue reading, it says in James chapter 2 and verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with works? And by works was faith made perfect. So if you want to show the Most High that you're really perfecting yourself and that your faith is perfect in Him, you got to have what? You got to have works. Gelling together with faith. Who's going to get salvation? Let's go to Revelation 14 and verse 12. To show you who's going to get salvation according to the Most High. Revelation 14, verse 12. It says, here's the patience. So you got to have patience. Patience because why? Because you're hoping for the kingdom. It might not be visible to you right now. It might seem to be something far off. But guess what? If you're really hoping to make it to the kingdom, you have to wait patiently. All right? You have to basically accept that the Most High is going to give you that when He sees fit. So here's the patience of the saints, meaning of the Israelites, because that's a title given to the Israelites. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Showing you what? That those that will receive salvation, they're doing two things. They have the faith of Christ, and they're keeping the commandments. And these two things are really the same. Even Abraham had that. Even Isaac had that. Even Jacob had it. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 to show you that. Hebrews chapter 11. Because our forefathers, they understood about Christ way before He was even born. All right? We're going back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 10. This is basically about Abraham. For he looked, that he is Abraham, for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city he was looking for? Jerusalem. That is going to be coming down as a bride, who is prepared and made by the Heavenly Father, coming down from heaven, here to this earth. It says, through faith also Sarah, Abraham's wife, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. And she was past age, and she was way above her age of having children, because she judged him faithful who had promised. To some of us, it's like, it's impossible for a 90-year-old to have a child. It's impossible for a 99-year-old, okay, a man, to have a child. But the Most High showed us what? He showed us that he was faithful to Abraham. All right, that because Abraham was faithful to him, he also what? Walked with Abraham according to faith. It says, therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead. Why is it him as good as dead? Because Abraham almost sacrificed him. So as many as the stars of sky in multitude. So we became, from that one child, Isaac, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they got to, they were seeing, they were really believing, and they saw ahead. And the Most High was revealing to them the future. It says, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So even Abraham was saying, I'm a stranger, because I haven't received yet the promise, or the promised land, or the kingdom. For they that such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They were seeking what? The kingdom. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, because Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, if he was mindful, he could have gone right back to the world. He could have gone right back to, you know, worshiping the many graven images, the many idols. He could have gone back to Babylon. Since that they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, meaning when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Meaning that was a representation of Christ. When the Most High made Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the Most High was trying to show Abraham how difficult it is for a father to give up his only son, his only begotten son, just like the Most High had to do for us. Most High had to give his only begotten son, Christ, for us, to show us how much he loved us, and to give us the opportunity to make it to this country, this heavenly city that is being promised to us. Now, we could be faithful and wait patiently and keep the commandments to the perfection that is required of us, or we could lose faith, lack faith, and give up and say, you know what? I'm going back to Babylon. I'm going back to the world that I'm accustomed to. I'm going to go back to the lifestyle that I used to live. Okay? That's the difference between being faithful with Abraham, or being of this world and claiming to be a, you know, a faith. You could claim all you want that you're a faith, but your works show that you deny the Most High. Verse 20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And faith, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See the difference of those that are faithful and those that are not. Those that are faithful would give up and enjoy the pleasures of sins for a moment, while those that are of faith will suffer persecution and affliction with the people of God. Okay, because all these that are being mentioned, they all have the opportunity to have sin and the pleasures of sin. But instead they chose the way of the Most High. Joseph was mentioned. Joseph, he could have committed adultery with Potiphar's wife. He already had everything in his hands. Okay? Potiphar basically didn't care what was being done except that he was being fed. Joseph took care of everything. And his wife was seducing Joseph. Come and lay down with me all the time, coming around. But Joseph said what? I'm not going to do that. He says that's a sin against my God. And because he didn't do that, he suffered what? Even more affliction when she accused him and said what? That he tried to commit adultery. That he tried to rape her and got put in prison. So we have to be of the same spirit. Whatever the Most High puts us through is for our benefit in the end time. It's for our salvation. Okay? Because all these died without receiving the kingdom. But they, seeing afar off, embraced the fact that the Most High was going to give it to them. All right? It says here in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, showing you that what? All these knew about Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Because Moses, he could have kept his mouth quiet and said, you know what? I know I'm an Israelite, but I'd rather be rich and I'd rather be king over Egypt. Because he was the next one in line under Pharaoh. All right? He was brought up in Pharaoh's household, being brought up as an African. All right? Already serving in the army, being a general. He could have kept, you know, himself in that walk. But you know what he did? He gave all that up. Okay? And became a simple man doing what? Tending sheep. Until the Most High revealed himself to him and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your fathers. I've come to save your people. Because I heard them what? Crying unto me. Come, I'm going to make you a leader. Okay? So he was that type of man that the reproach, the sufferings that he went for Christ, he looked at it as what? Man, the riches I'm getting later on is greater than the riches I might enjoy for a little moment in Egypt. It says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had respect unto what? The promise, the payment that the Most High was going to give him. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So now, how can we say that what Moses taught us is not faithful? When, as you can see, they all learned faith through Abraham. It was passed down from Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. Jacob, before he died, he blessed his sons and passed down the understanding. Joseph eventually passed it down to the rest of the tribes. Moses came along, and the Most High showed him faith, taught him faith. So how can we reject what is written by the Most High and disannul his laws as if they are not faithful? Okay? Let's read on. Verse 27 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured. Endure what? The temptations. As seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So when we keep the feast days and the Sabbaths, that's showing the Most High faith. When you keep the Passover and things like that, you're showing the Most High that you're faithful. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab, perished not when they believed not with them that believe not, when she have received the spies with peace. So all these people show faith through works, okay, through their actions. Let's go to chapter 12 of Hebrews, and let's finish up. Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, wherefore seeing we are all compassed with such about a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. So you got to put aside every heavy burden that you have on you. It says, and the sin which doth easily beset us, and the sin can so easily try to get to us. It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we have so much witnesses before us, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all these people we read, how to be faithful. Let us walk in their footsteps, and let us run this race to get to the goal with patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? Why does it call him the author and finisher? Because Christ was the reason that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stayed in the Spirit. Because they basically said, if I keep the commandments, all my seed, whether they are scattered, whether they are believers or not, they will be given the opportunity of repentance through this promise. Okay? Through the promise of Christ. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Even Christ had to go through what? Through affliction. And show that he was faithful to the Most High by enduring the punishment of the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself. Meaning everybody was trying to contradict in Christ. All right? He suffered like as if he committed sin, which he did not. Says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So sometimes we might get weak, and we might feel like we're about to faint and fall away. It says, don't be like that. You always keep that faith strong. It says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. None of us have gone through any persecution or affliction that is as difficult as the ones that Christ and our forefathers went through, where some of them actually died to show how faithful they were to the Most High. Striving, meaning fighting against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, despise not the correction of the Most High, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, when you are corrected of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So if the Most High loves you, he's going to correct you. Because there's a way that you can learn, which is the easy way or the hard way. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way, which is through correction. It says, for what son is he who the father chasteneth not? If you have a son or a daughter, okay, and they do wrong, don't you chasten them? Don't you punish them when they do wrong? It says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers? Then if we are without chastisement, then we just like everybody else. Everybody's a partaker. But did everybody partake in the enslavement of the so-called blacks and Hispanics? No. Everybody didn't go through the same sufferings as us. Only the children of Israel suffered in the places that they were scattered. So then, are ye bastards? Then they're not sons and daughters of the Most High. If they didn't go through the punishment that the Most High spoke of. It says, and not sons. So with that, we give all praise and honor to the Most High. And hopefully class was a blessing to you. Shalom.